Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Carolina Panthers tonight, Thursday Night Football. Steelers have won four in a row. Jeff Hartman covers the Steelers for SB Nation. How are you, Jeff? Jeff, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good. All right. So let me get your thoughts on this, on the Le'Veon Bell working out in Pittsburgh. If I'm a layman and I'm just kind of following this story on the periphery, I'm not getting into the details, I just hear about this bit of news, how am I supposed to digest that? How would I digest it that he's in Pittsburgh? Is a deal close? Are they working on something? What are the ramifications of that bit of news?
I think the fact that he's back in town means that he's planning on reporting at some point soon. Things can change, and there's a lot of variables that the public is learning about now that might keep him from maybe playing at all this year. But I think the fact that he's not in Florida, he's back up north, he's in Pittsburgh, at least is a sign that a return could be imminent.
So give us the numbers here, right? I've been hearing that if he signs on, he'll play the rest of this year at the $14 million tag. But if he doesn't play at all, what does that they can tag him again for the same $14 million? How is the numbers working for Pittsburgh? Do they want do they want to get a deal done from a financial standpoint, or when does the quarterback tenure come in?
Well, that's the thing that was confusing a lot of people.
Yes,
He doesn't need this season to be accrued to be considered a veteran. He's already a veteran.
Okay.
So because of that, he would get the franchise tag next year, I believe, but there's been so many different reports saying this, that, and the other, that it would go up to a quarterback franchise tag price tag, which is pretty much out of the Steelers' price range. As for this year, if he signs on, let's say he reports on Monday, they take his physical, everything passes. He then has that, the Steelers have that 2-week commissioner's exempt list that they will have to get their roster to 53 with him on it. Now, they can take him off of that list whenever, and they can also choose not to pay him during those 2 weeks. Now, reports were that was a sticking point in him returning the past few weeks, and that's why when Jeremy Fowler of ESPN wrote that he was coming back after the bye week, the report was that the Steelers said, we're not paying you during those 2 weeks. And so he said, fine, I'm not coming back then. So it's really dicey, and it gets down to the nitty-gritty of the collective bargaining agreement and all this stuff. But ultimately, the Steelers are saving money every week he doesn't show up, because all that money that he has passed up, which now I think is nearing or maybe just over $8 million, has now rolled into their salary cap for next year. So they're actually getting salary cap space every week he doesn't show up, and they're getting great production from James Conner on the field. So consider it a win-win for the organization.
Yeah, let's get to James Conner for a second. Can you make the statement that this was not played well by Le'Veon Bell, or can he still, quote-unquote, win in the end, get what he wanted all along, in whether it's with the Steelers or somebody else?
I think in a way, because Conner's playing so well, the narrative has been that, well, it's because of that offensive line, it's that system, it's Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown that are doing their job, and in fact, James Conner's a third-round pick from Pitt. He's coming in, and he's having better numbers than Bell did last year. So I think there's a lot of questions about, well, is Le'Veon Bell as special as we thought? And you have to think that any human being that's in that situation would be saying, I need to get on the field to prove that I can still do what I do, And it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But James Conner has a lot of different tangible skills that Le'Veon Bell doesn't. For instance, he is faster. He has a better burst through the line of scrimmage. His ability to elude tacklers and to make people miss and break tackles is something that is just remarkable. I think he leads the NFL in broken tackles and contact. So it's definitely been a crazy roller coaster ride between Conner, Bell, and the Steelers. But for the Steelers, I don't know if anyone, myself included, saw James Conner doing what he's doing. But ultimately, it couldn't have played out better for Pittsburgh.
Were you surprised in the offseason? Because when Le'Veon Bell did this, I said, listen, I get it. The playing in the NFL is one of the least financially secured positions in sports. And I got what he was trying to do. I got what he was trying to get. Were you surprised if some of the Steelers vocally and publicly came out and kind of challenged this?
I was, because typically in the locker room, you don't hear players talk about other players' money. That's kind of like an unwritten rule. You know, you talk about the unwritten rules of baseball. It's kind of like one in football. You don't talk about my contract. But I think the frustration was that he had told everyone that he was going to be just like last year. I'm going to sit out training. I'm going to sit out the preseason. Week one comes, I'm going to be there. And from what I've gathered, that he had said that up until he was a no-show in week one. And so because of that, I think the players were just furious. And they were mad because he wasn't showing up. They didn't know what they had in James Conner at the time. And it had to be a hindrance for these players, because now they had to answer questions about him ad nauseum for weeks, and now it's been months. And I think that the general consensus from the reports you're reading from the locker room are they just wanted to make a decision. Like, if you're going to come back, come back. If you're not, that's fine. Just make a decision. Don't leave everyone hanging us. And it can be a distraction, you know? So I was surprised. I thought that it was going to be status quo. He's going to show up just like he did last year. And here we are entering week 10, and he still has yet to show up.
Jeff Hartman covers the Steelers for SB Nation as we talk about not only the Steelers season, but tonight's game against the Carolina Panthers. All right, so the first four games of the Steelers, they tie the Browns, in which they turn the ball over a ton. They get blitzed by Patrick Mahomes for six touchdowns in their lost Chiefs. Buccaneers, they're up big, but then the Buccaneers come back in the second half, and then they lose to the Ravens. It doesn't look good. Doesn't look like a season's going. Now they've won four in a row, including two big road wins in the division against Cincinnati and Baltimore. Was there a players meeting? What clicked for the Steelers when they come off that loss to Baltimore that said, we got to do something, and now we're doing it?
I think there's a couple things. For on offense, it was they realized that they need to have some type of balance to be, to function. And if you think that the Steelers' last loss, which was to the Ravens at home on Sunday Night Football, James Conner had 9 carries in an entire football game.
Yeah.
And I know that the game got away from them quick. They were down 14-0 midway through the first quarter. But still, with the Steelers' offense and with that much time left, there really, in my opinion, is no reason to abandon the run as early. And they did that a lot in the early portions of the season. They were very pass-happy. They've gotten back to running the ball. James Conner's proven when he gets the ball over 15 times, I'm pretty sure he's come close to or gone over 100 yards. So when they commit to the run, they have the line, and they can run the football. And their offense is changing. You see, there are no more deep shots, really, down the field. You think back last year, and even back when Mike Wallace was in Pittsburgh, the deep ball was huge, and Big Ben was going deep. Now it's a controlled, they're just moving the chains. I think the best way I can put a picture is in the third quarter of the Ravens game this past Sunday, the Steelers got the football. They had over an 8-minute drive, I want to say 12 plays, 75 yards, the result in a touchdown. It took up over half of the quarter. That's kind of their offense now. They're just going to grind it out. They're going to get first down. They're very good third down offense now. That's the biggest change on defense. It just feels like they're getting used to playing together with everyone, because this is a new group. Unlike the offense, which is basically everyone returning, you have John Bostic, you have Terrell Edmonds as a rookie, Sean Davis at free safety at the new position for him. They're figuring out their cornerback spot opposite Joe Hayden. There's a lot of new faces in that group. And so they're figuring things out. They're tackling a lot better. And ultimately, they haven't given up more than 18 points during the winning streak. And no one's really talking about the defense, but they're doing their job.
Let's get to tonight's game against the Panthers. And here's the Panthers. They're 6-2. Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey. What is it offensively? Do you see something that Carolina does offensively that the Steelers, either this year or maybe potentially, could have problems with defensively?
Well, Greg Olsen is a good tight end. I'm not sure how healthy he is, but I mean, the Steelers just against big tight ends that are athletic, that can run in the past. See what Rob Gronkowski's done to them, in the past few years. But also Christian McCaffrey and Cam Newton with their dual threat capabilities is very concerning. The Steelers are a group that, although they are getting better, they still will have coverage issues. They will have miscommunication issues. I would expect them to have a spy on Cam Newton, but with McCaffrey, he slips through the line of scrimmage. He catches that quick little outlet pass, and next thing you know, it turns into a huge game. That's what the Steelers have to really try to stop, because not only is he running the ball well, they as a team are running the ball well. But I think that you have to force Cam Newton to throw the football in this game if they want to win. And so it's going to come down to, can they stop McCaffrey? Can they stop the running game? Can they keep Cam Newton in the pocket? That's going to be the biggest question mark for the Steelers going into tonight's game.
How have the Steelers done defensively when they lost Ryan Shazier? How have they adjusted to that? It's hard to replace a player like that. It's also hard to emotionally overcome seeing your teammate go down like that. How did they handle that, and how have they done it schematically, if you will, on the defense?
Well, last year it wasn't perfect. They tried to figure it out. They brought in Sean Spence off the street and started him, and so that showed you that the depth at inside linebacker wasn't very good. But then again, his fans got frustrated. One of my jobs is to remind them that Ryan Shazier's don't grow on trees. You know, as the NFL draft approached, right, Everyone thought, oh, well, we'll just go out and get an inside linebacker that is going to replace Ryan Shazier. Well, Ryan Shazier was arguably the fastest player on the Steelers last year. You just don't find inside linebackers that have that sideline-to-sideline speed and athleticism. But I think what they've done is they have leaned more on sub-package football, where they have John Bostic and Vince Williams in against, you know, their standard base defense. But then they bring in L.J. Ford and Morgan Burnett at safety to play that other hybrid linebacker role. They've really schematically, it's been smart. It's still a work in progress, but the way that they drafted, taking Edmonds, who's a big safety, they brought in Morgan Burnett, another big safety that can play inside hybrid linebacker. They're basically saying, we lost Shazier, so we're going to have to use more sub packages. They have a new, what they call their dollar defense, with seven defensive backs on the field. It's all about matchups now, whereas in the past they could keep their base defense out there more. Shazier could play as a safety or as a linebacker. He was skilled and fast enough to do both. They don't have that option anymore, so they're having to scheme their way out around it. And it's starting to kind of find its own shape. Like I said, it's still a work in progress, but it has not been easy because, like I said, Ryan Shazier was a remarkable talent.
That's a great answer. That is a great, well-put-together answer, because that's always a problem when you have a player like that goes down. It's not just finding a player and saying, he's your guy. You could change everything. I mean, you could change the philosophy of it, everything around it. So, well put together. I really appreciate you, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us. Hope to get you on when the season progresses. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Jeff Hartman, SB Nation, covers the Steelers. Great answer on that one. Again, a lot of teams, you lose a player like Shazier, and he's right, they don't grow on trees. And you bring in it, you just have to go, no, next man up. We hear that term a lot. In the Steelers, that wasn't the case. It wasn't just next man up. It was, okay, we're going to have to shore up this area too now, because we're not going to be able to get the production of what he brings from the linebacker position. So that's going to leave us vulnerable here. That's going to leave us vulnerable there. So we're going to have to do a lot of things schematically to sort of replace Shazier, rather than just replace him with a body and say, well, try to play up to that level as best you can. They went, okay, because you're not going to be able to, or we're going to ease that burden for you, we're going to have to do some different things defensively. And that's what the Steelers have had to do. But I knew last year their defense, it was both emotional and strategy wise, the Steelers just did not adjust the way that wanted. You watch your guy go down and you think, in a kind of a freak football accident, if you will, where he is, you know, losing numbness and you think he's going to be paralyzed, and it's kind of sad, and it's really just this awful, awful injury. You're dealing with that emotionally, but then you're not sure how you're going to repair it. Like, how are you going to fix it? How are you going to bring a guy in and what you're going to do? And I saw it tail off last year, especially against Jacksonville. Their inability to stop Jacksonville on third downs, their inability to get a rush on the quarterback, their inability to sort of cover some short receivers in those short yardage situations. It was all on display against Jacksonville last year, the absence of Ryan Shazier. 800-777-2907. It's SB Nation Radio with Tony D and Ron Culver.